Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, October 10th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 158, the first paragraph. Next day found the prospect more receptive. Through one paragraph ending, trying to fight this booze racket alone, reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Yvonne A., 12 Traditions, Tanya P., readers of the text, Joan Marie M., and Larry G. The reference number for Monday, October 9th, is 20,727. That's 20727. And for this morning, Tuesday, October 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,729. That's 20729. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone so much for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Yvonne A. and I'm a compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Tanya P. in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, recovered by the grace and mercy of God. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. Share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 158, the first paragraph. Next day found the prospect more receptive, through one paragraph ending, trying to fight this booze racket alone. We're going to be reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'm now going to ask Joan Marie M. to begin reading for us.
Good morning. This is Joan Marie from Nevada, recovered by the grace and power of God. Okay. Next day found the perspective more receptive. He had been thinking it over. Maybe you're right, he said. God ought to be able to do anything. Then he added, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. Well, that last sentence really, really stood out to me, all of it, but that last, because I was trying to fight this thing alone or with God only. And I know that today that I can't fight anything or anyone, and I don't want to, and that's one of the promises that I will not want to. And I don't have to fight it any longer because I've been set free. I'm in the place of neutrality around food, and it's only God. I had to first listen to Vision for a couple weeks, and then I surrendered those alcoholic foods, those foods that I knew that every time I picked them up and put them in my mouth, I could not stop. And it seems to me that he knew about God, but he didn't have a personal relationship with God. He only thought to pray when he was boiled over as an owl. And that tells me that daily contact, conscious contact with God was not there. And he also, I've made some notes, so I'm just going to read some of my notes. It's a God that could pull me out from the gates of hell. This disease brought me to my knees. Knowing God and having a personal relationship with God is my source. It's a he's a power greater than myself. He was aware of God, but he did not trust in him. Only when he was at a desperate part, and then like that that thought about not that thought about not thinking it through, you know, when I would have a thought about going to the food again and begging God to stop me, and but I wasn't ready to put the food down. And I could only do that as I surrendered to God. I had to have that surrender to God. And it is a spiritual program. And though I go to church and pray and do the things that I know that way, if I had the food as my God, it blocked that source of light. God didn't leave. I put that barrier between me and God because food became my God. And so, you know, I love the promises. And when I first came in, there was a young fellow that said he read the promises every day because they bring hope. And when you're into the food, there's nothing but despair and hopelessness. So I thank you for letting me share. God bless everyone, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Who else would like to share? Press star 1 to unmute and let us know your name.
Deborah G.
Rhonda G.
Deborah G. Was that Rhonda? Rhonda G.
No, it's Ronnie B.
Oh, Ronnie C. Thank you so much, Ronnie. So I have Bruce
Jordan
E.
L.
Jordan L. Bruce E., Deb G., Ronnie C., Jordan L. Let's go ahead and start with that lineup and give others a chance to get their thoughts together. We are on page 158, that first paragraph, starting with next day found the prospect more receptive through that one paragraph ending trying to fight this booze racket alone. So, Bruce E., please go ahead and share with us.
Yeah, hello. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and thank you, everybody. Appreciate this call. Appreciate the reading here. I think it's a very necessary reading. It says here, he sure didn't do much for me. Yeah, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. I think alone is an important word there. And, and the previous one, God ought to be able to do anything. Well, he can do anything. But still, he wants me to do something. So I got to do my part. He does his part. And the way I look at it is, it's sort of like a three- or four-leg stool. There's God, there's me, my sponsor, and there's all you people. You know, so it takes a bunch of people to do this thing. So I tried doing this alone, you know, I tried praying it away too. Tried praying it away, I tried doing it alone. Why didn't it work when I prayed it away? Because I needed to do the work. You know, I just wanted to go away without having to do the work. And they had a sponsor that constantly reminds me, are you going to do are you working the religious model, or are you working the disease model? Disease model meaning that let's see, we got some equipment in the background here. Hope that isn't interfering with my share here. But the disease model being, I use the addictive substances or I overeat on anything, and then it triggers the allergy. That in turn triggers the phenomenon of craving. That in turn triggers the obsession and compulsion. That's a disease model. But I was working a religious model, you know. I was working a model where, God, take this away. God, you know, I'm having trouble with this. You know, it's going to be tough today. You know, I'm going out to eat tonight. I'm going to need help. I tried praying it away. You know, I tried, that was using a religious model. And that didn't work for me. I used that a long time. And that didn't work. But what finally worked was when I started looking at the disease model, that I have a disease, I have a broken brain. You know, I have a broken mind. And I need God bad. But so I can't use those addictive substances because that triggers the allergy and then the phenomenon of craving and the obsession and compulsion. So I have to be very, very careful, you know, what I'm eating. And to be, you know, really, really watch things here. And I got to do this as a partnership with God, me, my sponsor, and you guys, you know, all of you. So I don't have to do it alone. That's what's nice. I've tried doing it alone. Didn't work. And, yeah, God ought to be able to do anything. Yeah, that's true. He does. He does for me what I can't do for myself. If I can do it for myself, he expects me to do it. And I do it. And then he does for me what I can't do for myself. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Deb G., please share with us, followed by Ronnie C.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Don and everyone. I'm Deborah from Arizona, Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Don, so much for your service and everyone that has made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. Excuse me, I'm so glad that you're here today with us. Yes, and can relate to that paragraph on both ends with myself and working with others. You know, I, for years and years, was so unconscious and not connected. I was in other programs, but I really wasn't, now that I see it, really connected because I was still in the food. And so when I went through an experience in a workshop, I started to, because I was holding on to one still, one alcoholic food, I still didn't see or didn't want to. That's the reality. You know, I wasn't honest and didn't see the truth. And so when I finally did, because somebody said something, I don't know who it was or what happened, but I finally got that I can't do this anymore. And that my thinking was, I thought that power, because I had, it's like, you know, that honesty of having no power, you know, and then thinking about a power that could help me with this because I have no power. And it happened with me that way. And also when I'm working with others, taking them through the steps, more and more they're seeing how that power works, you know, from that experience that we're having. And just because it's my thinking that I have a problem with, not the alcoholic foods in reality. And when I talk with someone and when someone talks with me, it's like it breaks me out of that unconsciousness and I can see I'm awake and experience. That was the true experience and transformation, was experiencing it. And then trusting, you know, looking when I could see how that power worked everywhere in everything and everyone, then I was able to do that with myself and my life and my food addiction. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Ronnie C., please share with us, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, everyone. This is Ronnie B. in Missouri. So thank you, everyone. I was reading this over and over, And when I read the first line, you know, the next day he found the prospect more receptive and it realized, okay, so what happened the day before that the next day he was more receptive? And so I kind of like had to reflect a little bit on that. And that's when I read, he'd never touch another drop, but by 9 o'clock he'd be, and I found this comical, it's the diseases and the verbiage is, boiled as an owl. And that's what I understand. So when he wondered why I would be more receptive, because anything was better to try than to do it on my own. Because it's in the big book that says he would just bang on the table saying, how did he get there again? And, you know, my eating disorder goes way back, and I can remember early, early years. But the point is, about 40 years ago, and I know that because of when I moved to St. Louis from New York, I bought this one box of things on the way home from the store. By the time I got home, they were gone. By the time I got home, by the way, I was 10-ish minutes away. It just didn't take long. I told myself I had to eat them that fast or they would melt. So this is what my thinking and where my thinking got me. And it's only by working the vision program, and all the other programs are good for people, but for me, they weren't working. And it's because the focus here is really on getting through those steps and focusing on this big book and treating my disease like a disease. You know, not like a passing fad or something I absolutely could control, because I was always trying to control, and I can try to control today, but I always end up boiled as an owl with anything I try to control, right? But I just love this because he said, maybe you're right. And boy, those were really hard words for me coming into the program, because if anything, I had to be right. You know, and then I got into a program that said, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? And I thought very smugly, well, I'd rather be right because that's when I am happy. You know, just very flippant attitude. But of course, that's not true today. That's just not true. I can be right about some things because I'm human. But the truth of the matter is maybe other people are right and I can learn from them, which is what I try to do. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. This is an interesting paragraph. I feel like there's a lot in between the lines here, and I don't know, maybe that's just because I've read this book so many times over and over again. Maybe you start seeing things that aren't really there after a while. I don't know. but I feel like there's a lot in between the lines here, right? Next day found the prospect more receptive. which tells me that Bill W. and Bob, they just kind of left this guy to, you know, wallow in his stuff on that first night, which is probably good, you know? Like, if AA number three is anything like me, those first three conclusions, I really had to come to those on my own, especially when it came to food. No one was convincing me of that stuff, you know? And so it's like, it's kind of good for me to be left with my own crap in the beginning, you know? And I don't know, that's just me. Like, I had to come to those conclusions on my own, you know? And I love this. Like, he had been thinking it over. Maybe you're right. Like that really was me, you know. but when I opened up, like when that crack in the armor came, and I can open up and I can start listening and being more receptive to what it is that these compulsive overeaters are trying to tell me. They're trying to help, you know. when I open up to that idea, you know, that maybe a spiritual experience is maybe a spiritual experience is possible for me too, you know. It's such a it just opens up so much, you know. So I think this morning, I think I'm really grateful for all those compulsive overeaters that came before me, and were willing to come back over and over again to tell us, to tell Overeaters Anonymous, to share in Overeaters Anonymous about how this works. If you put down the food and you put down those old ideas, all those things that didn't work, and try something new. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 158, that first paragraph, starting with next
Nancy.
Day found the prospect more receptive. Who is that first name?
I'm sorry, Nancy L.
Nancy L., okay.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H.
Mary G.
Mary G.
Chanel T.
Chanel T. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Mary L., Jennifer H., Mary G., and Chanel T. Nancy L., please get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Hello, everybody. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered food addict, and very grateful today. Yeah, what a paragraph. The thing I really identify with is that when he said he sure didn't do much for me when I was in the when I was trying to fight this booze racket, and that the word fights, like, oh my gosh, I was such a fighter. I grew up, you know, as a fighter, and as the weight continued to rise, the harder I would fight, and the more desperate I got, and the more money I would throw at it, and the more resolved, I'm not going to eat today and all that crazy stuff. So finally, one time I just decided, okay, I'm done. I'm just done. I did all the pay and weigh and all the other things that I said, I'm just not going to do anything anymore. I'm going to be fine now. I'm not fighting it. I'm just going to enjoy my life. And of course, we all know this is a progressive disease. And when I finally came crawling back, not to OA, because I didn't know anything about OA then. I just went back to my weighing place, and I'm peaking over 216 pounds at 5'4". I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess I'm not over with the fight after all. But anyway, I'm so grateful, because it wasn't too many years later that I found OA, and then I found Vision. In fact, I was in it before it even started with it was another group, and you know, I just kept hearing recovery and thinking, why not me? Yeah, why not me? I'm going to do what these people are doing, and let's just see what happens. I'm so, so grateful for my abstinence today. I thank my higher power every single morning when I wake up abstinent. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Illinois. Jennifer H., please share with us, followed by Mary G.
Thank you so much. Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Jennifer H. from Santa Clara, California, formerly Jennifer A. And I don't share very often, but I've been wanting to, and I'm really grateful. What came up for me in this paragraph is the next day found the prospect more receptive, having been thinking it over. And it made me think about when I first came into the program and I asked the woman who is my sponsor to sponsor me, that she had said she would be willing to. And she said, I'm going to send you a list of things that, you know, this is how I'm sponsored and this is how I will sponsor. I want you to please look at them and pray about them and then call me tomorrow and let me know. And I'm really grateful that she did that. I knew this program was going to work for me because I used this literature for another program. So I knew that the solution was in the big book. However, was I really that ready to do it? And I appreciate, I mean, I knew I was. However, to be able to have that pause and to think about that, because in the emotion of a moment, you know, I can make an impulsive decision and say yes. And then when the reality sets in, it's like, I don't know. This is kind of scary. But I was able to have quiet time with it and think about it and pray about it and really make that higher powered decision to move forward with this program, because I knew that she was right, not maybe she was right, that she was right, that God would be able to help me and do anything. However, was I willing to do that? And I was certainly willing. And I'm very grateful for this program. I have a little over 2 years of abstinence today, and just listening to all of you while I'm making my meals in the morning, I just love this program and all of you. Even though I can't see you, I love you and I know you all. And thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jennifer H. Mary G., please share with us, followed by Chanel T.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona. And, you know, I too was struck by that very first sentence. Next day found the prospect more receptive. And what I had to think of was my journey through OA. I came into OA when I was 36 years old, and it took me 17 years until I got to the point of being more receptive. And that point was really a point of desperation. I was, again, in regular OA, just, you know, gaining weight and not understanding how on earth I could gain weight when I was supposedly abstinent. It just didn't make sense to me. And, you know, I got to the point where my ideas, I didn't have any more ideas. You know, I was completely hopeless. I really felt, you know, if I didn't surrender, there was no limit to how high my weight could have gone. And, you know, I always believed in God. What I didn't believe in was what other people told me. I still had that thought that, you know, I should be able to figure this out, you know, me and God, right? But unfortunately, when I'm in the food, my connection with God is broken. And I did not know that until I actually put the food down. And I didn't know what my alcoholic foods were. I came into a program that, you know, tells you what to put down and what to eat. And that worked for me for a couple of years because I needed to learn the discipline. I needed to let someone else tell me what to do and become teachable. I was totally unteachable in the beginning. You know, I thought I knew everything. And trying to do it alone, oh, yes. You know, I even in recovery, I have to figure out how to do the big book, how to, you know, teach the big book alone. And it just doesn't work. Unless I have had a guide who had guided me through the big book and do it that way, it's not going to work for me. My sponsor who took me through the big book last year in April, you know, she taught me to be God-reliant rather than self-reliant, higher power reliant. I call my higher power God. And you know, it's made a huge, incredible difference in my life. I have to remember every day that I'm not in charge, you know, not only of my food, but of everything. You know, I have to be willing to connect with my higher power and my God every single minute of the day, or I'm going to be into my self-will. And when I do my nightly inventory at night, I get to that point of selfishness, and I often put no, and then I think, really? You know, if I was honestly truthful, there's a lot of times I was selfish. But by the time I get to the point of the question that says, if I've been thinking about myself, mostly about myself, I can honestly say, you know, a lot of the time I still think of myself. And so it's only by surrendering, you know, first thing in the morning and then as the day goes on. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary G. from Arizona. So today we're talking about page 158, that first paragraph. Next day found the prospect more receptive through one paragraph ending, trying to fight this booze racket alone. So So Chanel T, please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names of people who would like to share in this paragraph.
Hi, thank you, Dawn, and thank you everyone on the line and everyone doing service. This is Chanel T in Washington State, where we're finally getting some rain, and I am so happy to be here with you. I love how Bill draws out this story, and when I would first read it, you know, when I first came back in after 7 years becoming willing, well, let's be honest, after 56 years of being willing, it was like, why does this have to take so long to get through this? Why are these chapters even important? Let's just stick to the steps. I'm fine. It's good. And now I see more and more. More is revealed. I can't give someone the gift of desperation, just like nobody could give me. God can, but no person could give me that gift of desperation. And it took some time with this guy. It wasn't a one and done. We'll go in and talk to you. Pardon me, I'm a little out of breath as I walk up the hill. It wasn't, let us just talk to you. You're going to get it. It's great. Sure, I'm sure that happens for some people, right? They hit one meeting and the white light comes through when they go, I've got it. Yay. Certainly not the case with me. Very stubborn, very hard-headed, very much in self-will. That is my way. I want to do it my way, and I want God to do it my way. That's my nature. So I love that it took, you know, 2 days of letting him dry out a little bit and then talking to him. And then coming back the next day, he's more receptive. Interesting. So I'm here, right, as a sponsor, as a fellow. I'm here for people to talk to during these stages. And I need to be here. I need to be here for them. I need to be here for me. I need to hear their struggles. I need to see their fight with God at that last bit, if that's their last bit of fighting before they surrender. And it's a beautiful reminder to me every single day that I am powerless over food. My life was completely unmanageable because of my compulsion with addiction. And that left to my own devices, I will self-destruct and I'll take down others with me. But with God being just the slightest bit willing, he's like, okay, well, all right, I can see there's got to be something that could do something for me. Hasn't done much for me so far, though. That's how I felt. It wasn't, oh, yay, I'm so willing, and I believed in God, but I'm so willing to turn my life and my will over. No, it was suspending my unwillingness long enough to act as if God could and would, if he were sought. And that's actually all it took. Me working the steps, God doing all the heavy lifting. And yeah, I had to listen and do what my sponsor said. It's just an amazing break of self-will is what it is. And it gives me a freedom I've never known. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Fran R.
Fran R.
Deb E. in Israel.
Deb E.
Rena in New Jersey.
Rena.
Alex K.
And Alex K. And we'll stop there. Okay, Fran R., Deb E., Rena, and Alex K. Fran R., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Fran R. in California. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful. And yes, this is getting to me too, the booze racket. And I have been doing quite well. I've been in the program, back in the program after a long, you know, absence, back in the program for 7 months and doing quite well, really well, and doing what I need to do with all of the tools, my sponsor, my willingness, turning everything over. However, this weekend, I was on a mini vacation alone. And it was basically just house sitting for my daughter, but it was at the beach and I walked the dogs and, you know, I pretended like I was on a mini vacation, although I was, you know, 5 miles from my house. And I let go. I was doing it alone. And I did my food the same as I had the plan. But then second day, oh, I don't want to eat that. Oh, I'll skip that. I started skipping food, vegetables primarily, and doing a lot of walking. So in my head, I was justifying. And it was about, you know, keeping the weight where it was. So my mind was not right. And that continued. And today, I'm back home. But last night, made my meal. But after the meal, I decided I was going to have something else. And I didn't stop, breathe, and pray. Because that's what I've been doing for 7 months. If I did have the little urge to do something outside of my commitment with food. And I didn't last night. And I had a couple of things that I should not have. But I'm back on track reading Big Book and attending the meeting every day is what, and I didn't do that. I didn't listen to one meeting over the long weekend. So I'm back and I'm grateful and thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Fran R. from California. Deb E., please share with us, followed by Rena and then Alex K. And if you could take 2 minute shares, that would be lovely.
Thank you. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I keep thinking about how this program has made me teachable. The next day found the prospect more receptive. I was not really receptive to any ideas other than my own before coming into program. Even if on some level I knew I should listen to others, I was sure I knew how to do everything. And all that came from fear. It was just like trying to find some kind of control. But the progression with this story just reminds me of how much a role like self-pity has played in my life. Like if I was in this fight, put myself like as the person in the story, I'd be like, okay, yeah, these are all great things to hear. And then starting to get some hope and then moving into the self-pity and saying, well, but it wouldn't work for me. I'm different. Poor me. Nothing works for me. It only works for other people. Everybody else does well, but not me. You know, just all this like self-pity talk. But then something shifted, and I feel like something shifted in me too, where all of a sudden I was like, well, maybe it could work. Maybe, because clearly my way was not working. And I think that's it's that tiny little crack of light, you know, that came in that allowed me to be open, to begin to be teachable, to begin to be more receptive. And that's all I needed, because then it was able to open more and more and let in more and more of the light. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Rena, please share with us, followed by Alex K. And please take 2 minutes.
Thank you. Yep, it'll be less than two. Thank you so much for your service. Rena, New Jersey, I am very aware that I need to be willing every day. I need to remember every day that I have a spiritual disease. It's not just weight that needs to be lost. I'm grateful that so far I'm down about 60 pounds, but the 60 pounds is not the problem. The problem is my thinking, and I need to go to God every day. I need to be receptive every day of God's power and to work the program. I can't depend on the fact that I've lost this amount to say that I no longer need to be as willing. If anything, I need to continue to be willing every day And that's why I'm here on this meeting. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you so much, Rena from New Jersey. Alex K., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for your service. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. I really identified with that line, fighting the booze alone. I tried to fight my disease for so long alone, and it never worked, of course, because I was trying to have control over something I'm powerless over. I was trying to do the impossible. And I kept trying to do it. Trying to do it alone, and I wasn't surrendered. I needed to surrender. And I used to think that was a negative thing, the word surrender. That was giving up, and it is giving up, but in a good way. It's saying I can't do it alone. I need help. And then I'm open to receiving the help I need. And today, surrender means I don't have to fight anymore. What a relief. And it means all I need to do is cooperate with my higher power. Such a more peaceful way to live. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. And we have time for about a minute share if someone would like to take that minute and a half share. Is there someone who'd like to take that time who hasn't shared in the last couple days?
Betsy O.
Go ahead, Betsy.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, as I spoke, I also related to, you know, he sure didn't do much for me. I was trying to fight this booze racket alone, and I have just been amazed at how quickly my disease can trick me into going back into the food and the things that I tell myself or the disease tells me. And I am so grateful to be going through this big book on a daily basis and able to access this meeting. It says God ought to be able to do anything. And I believe that my God can do anything, but I have to be willing and surrendered. And I am just finished my fifth step and finding that once again, I have some significant character defects that prevent me from really trusting in my higher power. And I'm grateful for this process. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that share, Betsy O. And now I am going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Thank you to everyone who shared, by the way. And we're going to follow that up with a serenity prayer. And now I'm going to ask Larry G. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. My name's Larry G. I'm from California. And thank you, everybody, for your heartfelt share today. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.